Hello, before we start the show, this is Sam with a quick note. There was one big news event that happened after we recorded the show, before I'm putting it out, which is FBI Director James Comey sending a letter to Congress announcing, at first apparently, that he was reopening the case into Clinton's emails. As the day went on, that sort of unraveled and it involved Anthony Weiner and, it turns out the emails in question are ones that Huma Abedin had sent to a computer that she shared with Weiner to print out, and may in fact all be duplicates of things that are already looked at, but they weren't sure, and so they had to look at it. So it in the end, it looked like a lot less than it was at the beginning, but the damage was sort of already done because most of the day was spent with, oh my God, the email investigation is open again. And of course, everybody jumped on that. Anyway, so we did not talk about that. And in fact, we talked a little bit about how little happened in the last week on the campaign trail. But we'll see if there's anything related to that still being talked about by the time we do the next show. We'll talk about it. In the meantime, here is the show. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, October 28th, 2016. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, and now you hear Yvonne. We delayed recording the show by one day because Yvonne has a nice nasty cold, and it didn't get any better in that one day.
Well, it did get better in the sense that I don't feel as sick, but my voice suffered. As my overall well-being improved.
Right. I can understand that. Yeah, but it's better to be losing your voice a little bit than to feel like crap.
Yeah, I can deal with. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, the other day I felt awful. Now I'm not feeling not as bad. I mean, you know, but I have My voice is not. I mean, when I talk, I'm having difficulty with my talking.
So look, here's the deal. Here's the agenda for today. We're going to do the election stuff, and you know, we'll try to be gentle on Yvonne. You know, there is other stuff going on. Of course, their new Macs. Microsoft introduced something.
Well, let's
the Bundys had a verdict. You know, but my point is, there's two more weeks left. We're going to do this show and one more show, and then it's the election.
Fuck, man. I mean, I can't wait for these two fucking weeks to be over. Look, I know that so the last election cycle and this election cycle, obviously, we've gotten a lot more of you to listen to our rants about this election, and we do really appreciate that.
Yes,
but
we do.
I'm just this election especially. I think far more than any election that I recall in my lifetime has to be the most just irritating in every way, shape, or form, with everything that's gone on, with all the people and all the bullshit arguments and shit that are going around. I am just so, and then I said, I think it was a while ago, that I had like retreated from like getting into arguments on social media about this. And I just,
because a few months ago, you were intentionally jumping into them.
Yeah.
I decided, arguments.
Yeah. But I decided that that's that's just no good. You know, this is like they're not changing anybody's minds. And then I wound up getting into a series of them over the last week. Okay, and I'm just, you know, I am exhausted by the level of. It's just all sorts of things.
Well, it's so personal for everybody as well. But you know,
it's
and
just
the divisions are so stark. I mean, it's like they're. I mean, we're not the first to note this, of course. It's like there's two different realities. Like, if you look, if you look at the diehard Trump supporters and you look at the well, anybody who's not a diehard Trump supporter, but they can't, we can't even talk to each other. You know, and I had done, you know, that those interviews with the Republicans a while ago, and none of them were like diehard Trump guys either from the beginning. And, but, you know, because it's like when you, the whole basis of reality seems to be different. You can't even say, but that's not true.
But we've gone into, it's not just even the reality, because the thing is that I've seen elections before where, you know, we've had arguments about whether like trickle down economics or like the poor or taxation, okay, you know, or war, okay, you know, for the most part, pretty valid arguments on a whole bunch of this shit. But really, now we're down to fucking conspiracy theories and bullshit and racism and bigotry and fucking, you know, we're beyond issues. We're down to arguments about just basic fucking common decency in a lot of sense, or even just belief in the U.S. election system. Yeah. Okay. And those are the ones that drive me crazy. It's that spectrum of them. Okay. You know, you got all these people taking hook, line, and sinker, these stupid things about the election being rigged and all this bullshit. And then people, you know, saying, which I've seen some surveys, actually, it shows that a vast majority of Americans do not believe this, but it's still a significant number of Americans that actually are believing this shit. I'd say, I think it was in the high 30s or something or whatever. That's a pretty big chunk of people who all of a sudden believe that their democracy is not a legitimate democracy.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is a fundamental thing. I mean, and look, there's always been some of this in American politics. I mean, even going back all the way to George Washington, there have been all kinds of personal attacks and things like that. But it seems that certainly within the elections that I can remember, this is a different kind. I mean, we really aren't arguing about what's the right approach to dealing with poverty. We're not arguing about what the size of government should be.
No.
We're not arguing about...
because if you take Trump's plan at face value, he's going to expand government 10 times bigger than any Democrat had ever done.
Well, right. The point is, there is actually very... I mean, you hear occasionally on the periphery people saying, let's talk about, you know, the right form of immigration policy or the right form of trade policy. I mean, those are Trump's two big issues, but even those become caricatures. There's not a serious discussion of real policy alternatives.
No, because the thing is that the reason
and this just exposes the reality that existed all along. I mean, nobody really cares about policy. No one really goes and reads all the politicians' detailed policy positions. It's always been a personality contest, but it's sort of on display more so than it ever has been. And it's also a personality contest and tribalism. Like who are your folks? Who are the folks that you believe, you know, are, you know, well, represent you in some way.
There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week talking about the evolution of the GOP and how it's gotten to where it's gotten right now. And one of the big things that it talked about was that the leadership seemed to be very content about amassing a large group of people in their core support that really they knew were not for a lot of the things that this group was for, okay, the leadership, such as, you know, trade policy, free trade, okay, that used to be a very core thing in the Republican Party, okay, all right, the leadership wanted free trade, but the reality is that the people that they've absorbed into the party, especially over the last, like, 15, 20 years, not for free trade.
Yeah, well, either not for free trade or actually just don't give a fuck about free trade, except in that, you know, if people make the argument that says free trade takes away their jobs, they're against it. If exactly. people make the argument that says free trade gives you jobs, then they're for it. They don't know the reality of There's the answer of that question.
Business agenda for you know, especially for a lot of Republican leadership and, like, you know, basically like Donald. I mean, a lot of these people that they have absorbed over, last few years, especially to enable to where they are right now, are very much against that agenda. They right. hate all that crap. They're not pro-business. They hate business.
Right. I mean, yes, exactly. You know, because the whole populism thing that Donald Trump tapped into, I mean, his key insight, if it's true that he has an insight and isn't just operating completely under instinct, is exactly that a significant part of the Republican Party did not buy any of the, you know, actual conservative ideology. They couldn't give a crap about small government. They nope. couldn't give a crap about free trade. They couldn't nope. care. You go down the list of issues, and they might care about social issues in some way. But fundamentally, the unifying factor here was not anything based on ideology. It was not anything based on issues. It was, you know, class and racial resentment.
Yes, for the most part, that's what it's boiling down to at this point.
I think he figured out how to take advantage of that.
And there is a very large dichotomy. They had a map that showed, I mean, the movement. This is something, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks about the demographic movement in both parties and how it shifted, and how, you know, especially just the cities and the educational groups, how everything that is urban has just so drastically moved towards the Democrats.
Right.
And everything that is poor and rural has just moved to the Republicans. Okay. Which that was not the way it was at all. As a matter of fact, it used to be that all the people with money who say would usually vote for the Republicans because they were for low taxes and, you know, that was more important to them than anything else. And all of a sudden you've seen this massive change. It's just not like that anymore.
Well, I mean, I think it's been exposed really this election cycle, but these trends have been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And what's been exposed and made obvious is before, while you had all of these loyalties for who was voting which ways, the candidates were very much still of the mainstream Republican. Let's talk about these Republican values. Let's talk right. about family values. Let's talk about fiscal responsibility. Let's talk about free trade. Let's talk, you know, you go down the list of sort of traditional Republican issues, and that's what the leadership of the party was talking about, whether or not their supporters cared about it. And Trump turned all that upside down by just saying, screw all that shit. Here's what you really care about.
Right. And he just basically just laid out everything, just forget it, that they had been for.
And it may well be only the 40 or 50% of Republicans where that really is their sort of core grievance, but the other part of the Republican Party has proven themselves to be impotent in stopping it and in sort of controlling the party anymore. And more so, aside from a very small group who have remained never Trump this whole time, the rest have sort of said, yeah, I'm okay with that. Even if that wasn't their core thing, they're going along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. So I'm just, I am at this point, the demagoguery of this whole fucking campaign and just all the hatred, you know. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, to have rallies where it's just very common to see these shirts that say Trump that bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just so disgusting. I mean, I've never seen that before in an election in the U.S. in my life.
Right. I mean, on the fringes, there were some pretty bad things against Obama. Well,
these are mainstream
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And in previous elections, I mean, we've had this kind of stuff around the edges going back.
Yeah.
Certainly in the Obama cases, you know, the Democrats said some pretty mean things about W, too. And certainly, you know, the first President Clinton, there was a lot of vitriol there. But
Not a disc.
But a lot of this stuff that was on the edges, on the periphery, it was sort of what they call the fever swamps, you know, has now come in and you can't not see it. Like before, you could sort of push that aside and say, yeah, yeah, every party has its extremists. Like you can ignore them. They're minor. They're, yeah, they don't represent the Republican Party. Now
that is the Republican Party. It seems like that is the Republican Party front and center.
You know, and obviously there are a lot of Republicans who wish that wasn't the case, but
there is apparently a high level. That's what they got, and that's what their his candidate in my, I don't think it's just in my opinion, but in the opinion of a lot of people, he's like inciting it and encouraging it.
Yeah,
I mean, he's really doing that. So, you know. Yeah, so I'm just, I don't know.
You're pretty much done.
I'm done.
I mean, done, you know, I still find the whole process exciting. I had someone ask me, last week sometime, you know, are you like everybody else sort of sick and tired of this and want it to be done? And I'm like, no, I'm excited. This is fun. This is great. I wish it would go on longer, you know?
Oh God! No! Hell no! No! I'm just, you know,
the thing is, and after this is over, after we're past November, we need to see where all this goes.
I think that the vitriol will die down somewhat. Look, I mean, I think it will.
I think it almost has to for a little while, but this isn't going away either.
It's not going away, but I don't think.
I mean, and we heard, for instance, this week, something that I predicted back many months ago. A number of Republican senators are talking about if they keep the Senate, for instance, blockading the Supreme Court nominations for the entirety of the first Clinton administration.
I mean, this is the kind of shit that I'm talking about. I mean, what the fuck, man? Really? I mean, Ted Cruz is saying that there is precedent for this? When? I don't recall. I mean, what the fuck is the precedent for this?
You know, if they felt like it, they could go further. I mean, they could, not just the Supreme Court, block all our nominations. You want everybody. Secretary of State? Too fucking bad.
I mean, you know, I know.
Now, of course, for positions like that, there is the advantage. If you do have Clinton taking over for Obama, the current person is still in office until they resign. And normally it's a formality that the incoming president asks.
Right. But given the situation that we're in with these assholes, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, who the hell knows?
Yeah. I mean, as a basic, you know, transitional plan, if I was Clinton, I would not ask everybody to resign. I would ask everybody to stay on until their replacement was in place.
Right.
You know, so you can say, I intend to resign when my replacement leaves, but not, I'm out on January 20th.
Right.
And, you know, because who knows? I mean, normally it's a formality. Normally, like, all the president's key nominees get nominated, get approved by the Senate within days.
You know? True. But here's the reality. We've had a Supreme Court nominee for the first time that, you know, what has been almost, how many months now?
I don't know. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
February, maybe?
Yeah. That hasn't gotten a hearing.
The justice died in February and the new one was nominated in March or something like that. Anyway, whatever. It's been a while.
Yeah. And they're saying that they're not going to give him one anyway.
Yeah. So who knows? Now, of course, there's one group saying we can block this for the entire Clinton administration. There is another group saying, forget this crap. As soon as we're in the lame duck session, let's get him approved as quick as possible and get past this. Because, you know, we're not going to get any better from Clinton. Now, I hope those sane people are the ones who win that particular argument. But anyway, the point is that there's, whatever tactics we've seen from Republicans in Congress with Obama. I don't think they're going to change with Clinton particularly. And then we've also got this whole, you know, this election cycle has made extremely obvious all the various divisions in the Republican Party that we had talked about for years, but now they're undeniable. Now they're and center. And you're going to see these as we approach, as we go from the 2016 election to the 2018 midterms, we're going to see all kinds of fighting for the soul of the Republican Party, you know, and it's not going to be pretty. I mean, you know, assuming, as is likely, that the House stays Republican, you know, does Ryan stay? You know, does he manage to hold on to it, or do we get another battle like we did when Bonnier left? And if we do, you know, the only reason after Bonnier left we ended up with a speaker is Ryan ended up saying, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." You know? There weren't any other really solid candidates there.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of room for interesting things to happen. Even without, you know, Trump coming and, you know, saying, you know, everybody should take up arms against the illegitimate Hillary Clinton or something crazy like that.
Well, who the hell knows what's going to come out of the mouth of that moron after the election?
You know,
if he loses, which I mean, you know, look, I mean, percentage wise, I mean, that's
well,
that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, there are still some scenarios that could have him winning, but they're really far fetched. You know,
right?
They involve either all the pollsters being wrong.
I mean, and right now it's all of them. I mean, yeah, right now
there are a handful of polls that show him doing pretty well, but they all have issues with them.
Well, let's see today. I mean, I looked at this one, and like today, every single national poll, not talking but every single national poll from every pollster, including pollsters and before.
Including LA Times and stuff that had him ahead.
The LA Times
and Rasmussen. And
none of them had Trump win.
This is, I mean, I've been saying it for a while on my electiongraphs.com analysis. Like you said, everybody else, every single person, group, news organization out there that does analysis says Clinton's got this. The ones that do odds are still, yeah, the ones that are most generous to Trump give him about a 15% shot. And, you know, 15% ain't nothing, but it's pretty low. And a lot of them have him much lower than that. But, you know, that brings up another question that is, do we think at this point Trump knows he's lost? And we talked about this last week, and I said, you know, I think he's getting some of that cognitive dissonance because he's so caught up in the notion of winning, and that's so core to his central image, but the evidence is starting to come in that he's not winning.
Somebody had said, I thought that I saw Kellyanne Conway quoted as saying that apparently he came out of a rally like talking like he was losing.
Well, yeah, he did. That's why I'm bringing this up again, is a number of comments he's made over the last week have sounded actually somewhat resigned to the notion of winning. I mean, of losing. Of losing. And there have been leaks from inside the Trump camp that say, yeah, you know, our internal polling kind of matches the external polling. You know, we know we're behind. And a lot of he's still blustering and saying we're winning, but he doesn't look like he believes it anymore.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Speaking of polls. Yes. So yesterday I was at home. I got a call from one of the pollsters.
By a pollster.
Well, you know, it was one of the robocall ones. Yeah. Gravis.
Okay. Oh, Gravis. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. They do their poll.
Yep.
Okay. So I got.
They're, by the way, most of their They do some independent stuff too. They're a Republican pollster. Most recently, they've been contracted by Breitbart, or however you say that, to do a number of polls as well. And so you were part of their Florida poll from recently.
So they don't even identify themselves. It's like GMI marketing or whatever the hell. I had to look it up online to what the hell they were. Now, but the thing is, dude, I mean, my God. I mean, I didn't know who it was first. That you know, it was one of these where you answer, you know, with a touchtone on your phone. Okay, right. It was just a robo poll. There wasn't a person. You know, how likely you are to vote? Blah 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 blah. Go through this. But dude, they have all these questions on the issues.
Right.
And this robo call to me seemed like it definitely had to be. They were trying to steer my opinion, but all the questions were, do you know Hillary is a bitch? Are you still really willing to vote for her? Press one for yes, press two for no.
So this is one of the things, and like it's from what you're saying, I'm guessing your poll was not the flat out Florida.
No. First, they did the poll where this is the way that worked. First, they asked how likely to vote I was. Yeah. Okay, they went through that. Then they asked me about the presidential candidates. Then they asked me about the Senate candidates.
Yeah.
For the state of Florida. Okay, so they did that, and then they went into questions about issues and whatever and whatnot. But the questions about the issues were like, dude,
they were before the question about president. The issue question.
No. They were after. I will say, the questions were after.
The point I was trying to make is Gravis and all of these poll companies do all kinds of different polls for all kinds of different reasons, and they include not just the ones that try to be fair, but many of them also do the poll. You know what they call push polls, which are trying to push your opinion in one way or another. They're usually separate. The ones that are flat out, you know, hey, who are you voting for president, that they report as such, usually try to play it fairly straight. And because when they report on them, they report the actual wording of their questions in the public release of the information. And the ones that are more tilted, the ones you're saying, are probably not going to see the light of day with like Gravis putting out a press release saying we pulled Florida and here's the results. They're going to get reported to whoever paid for them, who's going to say, thank you very much for asking those questions.
Well, let me see. I'm pulling up the poll. Okay. And what the questions were, because there were a lot of questions.
Oh,
okay,
did you write it down?
But I'm looking at them, and these were
you're
questions.
Looking at the public
okay.
one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one. And that was definitely the Breitbart poll.
Yeah.
And these were questions like this. Which do you think is riskier, electing someone who is experienced but who will not tend to bring much change to Washington and will generally continue the policies as they exist, or electing someone who will bring change to Washington but lacks experience and has few ties to the establishment? How likely do you think that the election is rigged? Okay. Let's see. What was the other one? Oh, here. The FBI has concluded Hillary Clinton potentially exposed top secret information to hostile countries when she used her private email server when she was Secretary of State, but the agency has decided not to seek a criminal indictment of her, which is closer to your view. So, for example, you're like, oh, come on, really? You know, and they don't. Oh, what a surprising that 51% of the people answered, you know, that, yeah, they thought that it was wrong. What was the other one? There's another one. Do you support President Obama's plan to increase the number of refugees coming to the United States from Middle East, Africa, and other parts of the world? Blah, blah, blah. There were a whole bunch of these like this. Do you agree about NAFTA? But the thing is that there were a number in here that
I'm looking at those, and those were, if I'm looking at the questions right, those were after the main presidential question, right?
Yeah, they were afterwards. Now the thing is that it's the thing that I said is that almost all the questions were like asking about stuff about Clinton, but very, very few about Trump in terms of the issues and whatever. So you can see the slant of what they're trying to do. But like I mentioned, they were after.
Yeah.
The poll question.
Yeah, the ones that are real push polls, and I've brought up the poll you're doing. It's the October 27th Breitbart Gravis poll. You can look at the press release and see all kinds of details. You can see the exact wording of all the questions. And the key, the one important part here that you can tell this is a poll that is actually, they may have an overall bias, but they're trying to get an accurate Clinton-Trump number, because that question is asked before any of these issue questions that have perhaps questionable, not even-handed wording.
Right.
You know, all the questions before the president question are fairly flat, straightforward. You know, how interested are you in the election? What party are you in? Is the country going the right direction or not? What is your opinion of the candidates, favorable, unfavorable, et cetera? And then
they get into the questions where they're really trying to push you to change, you know, to like believe something or whatever, which they do later in the poll.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it's shady. It's not the worst poll. When I finished, it's not the worst poll, but it was definitely a shady poll, no doubt about it. Okay.
Well, Breitbart's paying for it, so yeah. What do you expect here? Very interesting. Now, I would never know if someone tried to poll me, because anything that doesn't come from a recognized number goes straight to voicemail. I never answer the phone if I don't recognize the number.
Of course, the problem is that that's part of the problem with that poll.
Yep.
I mean, it's a robocall. You know, Jesus, you know, I mean, I took it, but 99% of the time I would have turned away that call.
Right. And that's why all of the pollsters, again, it's not just, hey, we called 1,000 people, let's, you know, divide. There's all kinds of weighting involved to try to reproduce the shape of the voting public in the area. Let's see, I was looking through, they usually have them at the end. Did they ask you the demographic questions?
A random survey of, yes, they did.
Yeah, and so what they do is they take all those demographic questions at the end and use that to weight the results. So not everybody is equal. They try to correct for who answers the phone, who doesn't, and try to make it more like the expected voting population, because they know the people who answer a phone call are not necessarily representative directly of the public without doing those kinds of corrections.
Right. So anyway, so I got polled. There you go.
Very exciting.
I know.
I'm excited.
And my wife today was counting votes. Okay.
Have you voted yet?
I have not, because to be quite blunt, the lines have been very, very long.
Well, you expect them to get better?
No, but the thing is, I was thinking about doing it over the weekend when everybody else is thinking
of doing it.
The thing is that this week, like, I got sick and my son got sick. So we were both today at home, and Juana was working today the polls. My wife, Juana. Yep. And so she was working the polls. And so I couldn't, like, really go. I mean, like, yesterday, you know, because of this, so when he goes back to school next week, I mean, I'll probably try to take a day that I'm not too busy. I just had stuff, but, you know,
This is one of the advantages of Washington State. It's all mail ballots. We talked about this a little bit. We received our ballots a few days ago. My wife and daughter got back from their trip to Las Vegas. They had a great time, by the way. And the ballots were there. Both of them have already filled out their ballots, sealed them, stuck the stamps on them. They have not mailed them yet, but they're done. They have done the actual act.
Well, here's the thing today.
I have not done mine yet.
The issue that we have over here in Florida is, like after 2000, they had switched to electronic machines to do the voting. Then there was a lot of security questions and questions around the electronic machines. So now they switched to a paper ballot. It's a pretty the paper ballot's a pretty straightforward ballot. You know, it's like, and it's fed into a scanner at the end of the process. The problem is that when you go to early voting, like before, for example, you used to go to the machine. I mean, it was a digital machine. You just click, 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 boom, done, counting, whatever. It's all electronic. Now, when you're going in to vote, first they have to see what precinct you're from. Then they have to print the ballot. okay, that is appropriate to you. They can't have stacks of pre-printed ballots, okay, right, because, you know, of all the people. And then you have to go, and then, you know, they have to be, you know, sorted and counted. It's more time consuming than the other one. And then the actual counting as well to produce the results. And the Republicans, I guess, thought that better for them, they reduced the number of days for early voting. They reduced the number of places where you could go early vote as well. So they did those two things. And the problem is that, you know, this, you know, she told me at this location they were there today, to 5,000 people voted today. I mean, 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's.
Well, we're seeing these pictures from all over the country of long lines at in-person early voting locations.
I mean,
she went
to work today at 6:30 in the morning and didn't get home until like about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like 11 o'clock there, something like that.
Yeah, you know, so she got it. Yeah, she got it home at 9:40. Okay, yeah, so, and she left the house at six something in the morning, for God's sake.
And here's the thing. I mean, you've seen these kinds of pictures in many, many states. And, you know, a few people have posted pictures of like, yay, democracy, look at all the people voting. But the real answer here is it should not be hard like this.
No, it shouldn't be.
If you make it,
we shouldn't have this many lines in order to go fucking vote.
I mean, if you have to wait in line for hours and hours and hours to get
my
your
wife
vote
had to done, wait 2 hours.
Right, like you right there have eliminated the possibility of many people doing it at all.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's voter suppression right there.
You know, you have to, in order to be able to take 2 hours out of your time in order to do things, you have to have either they have to be open at hours like weekends and night times that let you do it, or you have to have flexible work. And even if you have flexible work or evenings and night times, you have to have childcare if you have kids.
Right.
You have to. You have transportation, because in many states, one of the problems is that they don't have enough polling locations that are close enough to people. I've heard reports of certain areas where in order to get to a polling station, just the physical act of getting there is a major hassle for some people, because there's not one like at, you know, a mile away. You have to like go 20 miles or something. And I'm pulling those numbers out of my head, but the point is it's a challenge for some people. And so all of these efforts to make voting intentionally harder that are occurring in some states, I mean, obviously there's a political motivation there. But I really like actually what they've done here in Washington State by going to essentially 100% mail voting. I believe there's a couple places you can do something else if you absolutely need to. But it makes it, you've got weeks to do it. All you have to do is fill it out. And if you can't afford a stamp, you can drop it at certain locations. There's actually people trying to get the idea that it should be postage free, but it's not right now. But it makes it so much more convenient, so much more flexible. You know, if you have that plus automatic registration, between those two things, you encourage voting, which I think in general is a good idea. I am somewhat sympathetic to the notion of, you know, hey, if you don't know what you're talking about, maybe you shouldn't be voting. But for the most part, I think more voting is better.
Yeah, but you know, look, I as much as I know that I'm a good person that can identify morons, I really should not.
You don't want the government making that decision.
No,
you
don't. Actually, I wouldn't even want the decision to fall on me. You know, even say, oh, put me in. Yeah, would I want to be put in charge that decides who votes and doesn't vote? No,
no.
No, I mean, and I don't think that that's a decision that anybody, you know.
I think it's actually fairly good that we have a system where fundamentally the person who decides who to vote and who doesn't is that person.
Yes.
They determine, are they interested enough? Do they care enough? Do they feel they know enough to make that vote? Because there's some countries where it's actually mandatory and there's a fine if you don't vote. And
that is correct. Yes.
And I'm not sure that's a good idea. You know, I think letting people make the choice themselves is okay.
I still think was a really good idea was that in Puerto Rico, Election Day was a holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but one of the things that really does cause a lot of voter suppression, I'm sorry, a lot of people have to fucking work.
Yeah.
They just can't get out just to go fucking vote and take a day off. I think that giving people the damn day off so they can go vote. I mean, I think it's an important enough decision for the damn country that, gee whiz, that once every 2 years, there should be a day off for people to go vote.
Or again, don't make it a day. Make it a week.
Well, that's what they're doing here in Florida, which is the thing. I mean, the early voting is open on the weekends as well and so forth. I mean, so it's not like it's not inaccessible. I think the problem that we've had like right now is just that they've limited the number of locations for early voting. And it's made it that, you know, they're kind of freaking, you know, working overtime. I mean, some people were saying today that right now it seems like it early voting isn't, it hasn't even been a week, and over 20-25% of the eligible voters have gone to the early voting stations already to vote.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet go by a little while ago that said in Maryland there were more early votes in the first day it was available this year than there had been in the entire cycle in 2012.
Wow.
Now,
that's amazing.
That's not necessarily, oh my God, there's so much, many more people voting. It's more about the accessibility and opening it up and maybe making people aware. And, you know, so it's expansion of the notion of early voting doesn't necessarily mean expansion in the number of voters.
Yeah, overall. I don't know. I mean, here right now it's the same as it was the last election. It didn't really change. So I don't know, you know. Like whatever we're getting. I mean, the reason why I'm seeing more people is just because more people have been more. This campaign has been far more, intense. That's the reality, because the process is exactly the same. None of it changed. I mean, the awareness, everything. I don't see that that's really changed. I think the people are just far more, ardent.
Okay. I got one more sort of generic election thing to do before let's take a break and then talk about specific Trump Clinton stuff that happened in the last week, although there's less of it than there has been. But one thing that I made a note of this week that I wanted to mention is Washington State, where I am, of course, is not a swing state. But nevertheless, I found this remarkable when I suddenly realized it was the case, which is that when driving around, there are the corner, you know, on all the corners, they have all the political signs, you know, people put up their signs for this or that candidate. And for the most part, they have them at sort of the big intersections, tend to have lots and lots of these. And there are lots for local offices.
Yep.
Absolutely. I have not yet seen one for either Trump or Clinton.
Oh, I've seen here.
But, no, I know. Look, I expect you've seen them in Florida. I just want to say for a second, in Washington, there's one Trump sign I saw once, not in my neighborhood, but a few streets away. But so all of the ones on the corner, on the big intersection near my house, are all local races. You know, senator and governor are the biggest ones there, but no president, no, nothing like that. But even more striking to me, when I go into my actual neighborhood, no yard signs, none, zero, zip, zilch, not for local offices, not for state offices, not for president, nothing.
I'm going to guess just one thing. All Democrats.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I think you're probably... You know, no, actually, you know, in the primaries, I saw some signs in my neighborhood for local candidates who were not Democrats. I saw a couple Sanders signs
sometimes with local.
Right. But my point is that I just found it striking because I'm pretty sure I've seen lawn signs before in previous races. But not this time. Nothing. Nothing for Trump. Nothing for Clinton. It's like everybody, like you said, probably this neighborhood is mostly Clinton supporters. But You don't see Clinton signs either. You see nothing.
But I, you know what? Listen, this happened to like the last time in 2002.
And by the way, I'm not one of these crazy, oh my God, we can tell who's going to win.
I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know anybody that I know. A ton of people that are voting for Hillary. None of them
got yard signs.
Caught dead with a freaking yard sign in front of their house or a bumper sticker in the back of their car. Myself included.
Yeah. Well, would you have? Is it different than 4 or 8 years ago? Did you see like Obama stickers and McCain stickers, and now you don't see?
No, I tell you that no. What I saw in 2012, I saw a ton of Romney ones,
right?
But no Obama ones. And Obama won, and not just one, but won Florida too. And look, the margin of victory here in like where I'm at, in this area, South Florida, was like, I mean, Democrats won by, it was overwhelming. It was north of 60%.
Okay, my hypothesis was that in your area, you would see a lot more yard signs and paraphernalia than you do where we are, because we're not like a swing state and you are.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it's like 80-90% Trump, Pence, you know, signs.
Huh.
And that was the same thing as.
But you're in a Democratic neighborhood, but you still see more Trump.
I'm in a Democratic area in general. I mean, this is like, you know, this. I mean, this is like 60-70%. You know, the results were like that. You know, so but you could drive through all of frickin' South Florida, and all you see are frickin', you know, whatever. You know, Trump Pence ones if you see some, and you don't even see that many. I gotta be honest. You saw, I will say this, I saw a lot more Romney ones when it was Romney.
Right.
I saw a lot more.
Maybe everybody's just gotten over yard signs.
No, I do think that, by the way, that I do think I that.
Mean, look, part of where, what's feeding into
where I live, especially in this area, which is a lot of people that used to vote for like somebody like Romney were because of the traditional Republican stance. Listen, none of those people, a lot of people that are transplants here from New York, New Yorkers hate Trump with a passion.
All right. This is what I was going to say.
Manhattan right now is polling like 80%. And Manhattan, it's like polling 70-80%, you know, for freaking Clinton, for God's sakes. Well,
and this is what I was going to say. I mean, poll after poll has said on both sides, the number of people who are really enthusiastic about their candidate is relatively low compared to prior elections. So even people who are going to vote for Trump or going to vote for Clinton aren't necessarily excited rah-rah about it or proud about it and wanting to put a sign up.
Right.
They're just sort of like, oh, God damn it, I have to vote for somebody and I like this guy better, or I like her better, or I like him better, but I don't like it. I'm not happy about this choice. And so, therefore, I may make this choice, but I'm not going to be out there advocating for others.
Yeah.
I mean, and certainly there are people advocating. There are lots of those as well. But I think that there's quite a few people in the general population who are in that mode. Okay, let's take a
quick funny thing that I just saw was that they were I clicked on this New York Times like poll of Pennsylvania, okay, where they were showing like they're showing the support that Clinton leads by 7, but I love the chart that I love, which has got to be hilarious. Okay, it's just hilarious. Black voter support for Trump, Pennsylvania. This is just fucking. Can I say I love black people? You guys, you got our back. Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. All of you. Okay.
Is it 100%?
It's Trump has 1%. It's like Clinton 90%, Trump 1%. Yeah. One. I mean, that's just brutal, man.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some breakdowns in those cases where the pollsters actually said, you know, we didn't find any. You know. We asked, you know, however many people. I mean, part of this is how it breaks down, right? You know, if your poll only has 400 people, and you know, you've got out of that 400, you know, 70 or 80 or whatever are black, depending on the demographics of the state you're polling or whatever, then you know, if his actual support is like 0.5% or something, you may not get that one guy.
Right.
Because your sample is too small to find numbers that low.
Right. I mean, but but I just thought that's just that graph is just brilliant.
Okay. 47 minutes into the show without a break. Let's take a quick break. And then let's talk about the handful of actual campaign events that happened this week. There weren't really that many. I mean, I think, well, we'll talk about it after the break. After the break, and we'll talk about actual Clinton Trump things for a little bit. And then before Yvonne completely loses his voice, we'll wrap it up. Back after this.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook! Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook, and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes, and it'll help us reach more new people, too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, we are back.
And before I forget, just a tip for everybody. I just stepped back out to the living room in the kitchen to go get some water. Here's a tip. Never cook curry in your house. my wife decided like 3 days ago to make this chicken with curry, which tasted quite good, but it's been 3 or 4 days. We can't
and
get
you
the
can still smell it.
We can't get rid of the damn smell, and we have tried just about everything. Like right now, I'm getting really just.
You just have to lean into it, go the other direction, and make more.
No. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the hell the next steps are right now. But I'm getting right now on my.
You ready to burn the house down?
I mean, look. I mean, she used Clorox bleach yesterday to what floors, sprayed Febreze on every surface, Lysol spray. I left the windows open today all day. Took out all the I mean, I don't know, man. This is just. I mean, I just stepped outside of the living room. I'm like. And I have a cold, okay? So I have congested. I'm like, fuck, I can smell this.
There you go. A pro tip from Yvonne on cooking curry or not doing so. Yeah,
don't do it. Don't do it, period. Go to an Indian restaurant. Let them deal with it.
Now you're making me feel like hungry and wanting some Indian food.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That chicken curry is pretty damn good. I'll tell you what.
It just smells.
It just smells. You just don't want it. You just don't want it cooked in your house. That's all. In your dorm, as I remember, fuckers, we used to cook that damn thing in the dorm. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm on the other side of the fucking building. I'm in bed. I'm like, love of God, what the fuck, man? I'm like, who the hell's cooking? I mean, really? You know?
Okay, then. So back to the election for a little bit. And, you know, and actually, before we get to the election, I just want to once again list some of the things we're not talking about. The U.S. making noises about a cyber attack against Russia, some sort of attack taking down, you know, a significant chunk of the internet last week, too, although they say it's maybe wasn't a state actor this time. We had some demonstrations by auto of self-driving trucks doing hundreds of miles, which potentially is more impactful even than self-driving cars. We had Microsoft announcing an iMac competitor. We had new Macintoshes. We had the Bundys, you know, remember those guys?
Guys got all acquitted.
All got acquitted. So we had all this other stuff. And the reason I bring that up is I was actually tempted to, like, go into more of it this time around because, you know, even though we're doing an election focus, like, this last week,
the Kansas terror plot count as...
The Kansas stuff? Terror plot, too. But all of this, the thing is, with the actual election, what Clinton's doing, what Trump is doing, this last week has been pretty quiet.
Yep.
Now, I want to say, pretty quiet is a relative thing. In the last week, there actually have been two or three new women accusing Trump of various things.
But I guess we're kind of getting used to that.
We're done with that now. We're like, oh, well, it's another two or three. What does that matter?
Yeah, you know, what the hell? How many more are going to come?
We know this already. And as we discussed last week, his polls have actually improved since all that stuff came out. So apparently some people like it. So whatever. But, you know, it's been quiet. And this may tie into, like I said, maybe just Trump just knows that he's losing. And I mean, he's given a few speeches, but he's not done anything outrageous. The main focus of the last few days is he was trying to be disciplined again. Once again, trying to be disciplined. Come on. Like, we haven't heard that before. So he was talking about Obamacare a little
bit. But I had heard, like, somebody had said that Trump had decided to stop all basically any fundraising activities for the RNC.
Yes. He's cut off some RNC funding, and apparently, you know, he's, you know, although he'll of course talk about money he's donating to his own campaign. I just saw earlier today, one of these FEC reports came out and said, for the first part of October, you know, his grand total donation was only like, it was in the tens of thousands of dollars, like $30,000 or $40,000, something like that.
Oh, come on. And it was real.
And it was all in kind donations, no cash.
So he gave no money. He gave nothing.
Yeah.
They used the ballroom at the fucking hotel wherever or something.
Yes, exactly. So wow. He's done.
Wow. Well, not like he had given much money before anyway.
No, I know.
Wait, did he finally forgive those loans?
Yes, he did. He did finally forgive those polls. Polls. He finally forgave those loans.
I mean, I knew he said he
did. Wait, is this real? Let me make sure this is the real. Oh no, it's not. Sorry, I almost got fooled by real Donald Trump instead of Donald Trump. So I'll ignore that one.
I mean, are you sure? Because I know that he said he was going.
No, he did. It was verified. The letter was submitted to the FEC. He forgave the loans from the primary process.
Okay.
So he did do that.
Right. So probably all he did is just buy everything back from Trump hotels, Trump golf course, Trump airline, Trump steaks, Trump whatever. So therefore, so just basically just, you know, it's a cash washateria process. Okay, great. Beautiful.
Yeah. And look, but, you know, we had him trying to be serious about Obamacare and say some things about that after the quote unquote bad news about Obamacare that came out this week, and which we won't get into in detail, but there was bad news about Obamacare and Donald Trump tried to jump on it and tried to be disciplined about it. And, you know, I guess to some degree he succeeded because he didn't say anything super outrageous this week. There was more from WikiLeaks, that just continued to be the overall situation. It continues to be, Trump folks trying to, and some hanger on Sanders folks, trying to jump on some of these things saying, oh my God, this is so awful. Look at this. This shows all the corruption. And then you look at it and you're like, that seems completely normal.
The one that I'm like, everybody is like, oh my God, was that it seems like Chelsea had called an outside law firm in order to review the practices at the foundation in order to ensure that they were in compliance.
Well, and this is actually something that, by the way, this was not new. There was a big article that came out like about a year ago talking about Doug Band versus Chelsea Clinton.
Right.
Because what happened, they had been arguing, but more to the point, Chelsea Clinton came in and cleaned the place up because her perception was that Doug Band was doing all kinds of things
for himself.
Well, A, for himself, B, that didn't look good, and wouldn't put a right spin on it, and in some cases it were just, you know, questionable. And so yes, that was happening. Even those things, there wasn't any proof of anything absolutely wrong happening, but Chelsea Clinton came in and said, wait, I just want to get this point out. Chelsea Clinton came in and was like, you are messing things up. You are screwing things up. You are doing things in a way that doesn't look good. You are doing things in a way that might not benefit either of my parents. and you need to get the hell out of here. And basically, she did a coup and took over a lot of things in the Clinton Foundation circles and kicked him the hell out and said, we're going to do things right. And somehow this is being spun as a bad story. I mean, she cleaned up the mess. What mess there was.
And not just that. It's the fact that this was not like the Clinton Foundation being investigated by, say, as the Trump Foundation has been investigated by outside people for doing illegal activities or getting into problems with the IRS, as this is done already multiple times. No, this was the Clinton, I mean, Chelsea herself, okay, going in and saying, you know what, I want to make sure that this shit here is being done right. And somehow that is a shitty act. And I'm like, really? There were a couple of others which were driving me crazy. People going around, like, there were a couple of instances where apparently Bill Clinton went and gave a free speech to a company. And in return, what he said, listen, don't pay me. I want you to make a donation to the Clinton Foundation. And this is being portrayed as, oh, my God, look at how they're fucking enriching themselves. I'm like, what? Wait, I don't know. You know about this circuit.
Just to be careful about this. This is that the same kind of thing. Don't pay me, pay the foundation is some of the stuff that's gotten Trump in trouble, too.
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful when you do that in terms of taxes and other things. No, because you have to do it the right way. It can't be. Here's exactly. And that's part of the thing that I know that Chelsea is concerned about. But here's the one thing about it. You have to do it that it's set up correctly, because what happens is you can't go and enter a contract. Let's say this is my understanding the way that this should be. And if somebody, you know, can correct me later. But my understanding is this. I, Ivan Bo, I entered a contract with you, Sam. OK, we entered a contract and the contract is between you and me.
Right.
The moment that you're going to pay me, I say, no. Pay my foundation. That's a no, no. And that was one of the things my understanding was.
Well, and specifically, you actually can do that, but you still have to declare that as income because you directed where it went.
Exactly. You have to declare it and then, you know, send it that way.
Because it has to, in the end, have the same tax effect as if they'd given you the check and then you wrote a check to your foundation. Like, for tax purposes, that's supposed to be equivalent.
My understanding was that Clinton was doing fundraising for the foundation. Okay. And you know, they asked for him to give a free speech on some of them. And he said, that's fine. I'll give the free speech. So, but that was, there was no contract between him and them. This was like, they were just giving a donation to the foundation. And he went and gave a speech. And look, my thing is that I'm like, come on. Give me a, really? And they say, this is Clinton Inc. enriching himself. And I'm like, for real? I'm getting a little bit like, okay, people. I mean, my God. All right, I'm over this. I mean, I'm sorry. You guys keep trying to, it's like what I said to somebody earlier today. You know what? The Clintons have been investigated more than anybody the fuck else in history, I think, at this point. Especially because she's running for president for the presidency twice. I mean, you know, basically her husband and her. I don't think anybody's been more fucking investigated than these fucking people. And I'm like, you know, this is the shit that you're coming up with is saying, oh, my God, look how awful they are. I'm like, I'm like, OK, you know, you got a guy on the other side who basically, like, you know, stiffs everybody, sets up a fake university and does this shit. And these people are the evil people. I'm like, you know what? No, get the fuck, you know, sorry. Anyway, so that was basically most of the shit that was coming out this week from the emails. Look, right now, like you said, more women coming out on one side. Pfft, nobody's going to give a fuck. More emails coming out on the other side. I don't think anybody's going to give a fuck either.
Right. I mean, there's been nothing new that really has captured the attention in the way things have in previous weeks. Right. I'm sure Trump said something or other. I'm sure Clinton said something or other. No, well, nobody cares.
But Pence's plane slid off the runway.
I was going to mention that in a second, that yes, just like an hour or so before we recorded this show, Pence's plane was coming into a landing in LaGuardia and slid off the runway. Everybody's okay.
And I'm pretty sure that I've seen that exact, I think I actually even have a picture of that exact plane that Pence was on.
Okay.
The airline's based out of Miami. They keep parking the planes at MIA. It's like this is a retread of Eastern Airlines. And so yeah, so I've seen that plane. So I don't know. They went, but they just slid. But I guess somebody was saying, but what was it that maybe the pilot hit the metaphor button?
Yes, exactly. One that I retweeted said 2016 has officially run out of metaphors.
The Trump campaign, like, airplane crashed. I'm like, the Trump campaign crashed. I don't know, something. I'm like, no, what do you mean? No, yo, yeah, really? No. I'm like, oh shit, no, fuck, no, yeah, no,
yeah, yeah, no. This was, it slid off the runway. There were no injuries. Everybody's fine. So this is not, you know, this is not Trump Force One crash.
I'm sure it was a little bit scary for everybody involved.
I'm sure. I don't particularly want to have that on my list of experiences that I must have.
No, I don't, trying to avoid it.
But now the only other thing that also came up just while we've been recording, really, is Politico came out with an article saying that Clinton is considering Biden for Secretary of State.
Would that be cool?
That would be cool. Like, I think now I've heard a number of people say, look, Biden's not going to be Secretary of State. She's putting this out there to build enthusiasm because a lot of people like Biden, but this isn't going to happen. Now, Biden probably wanted Secretary of State more than he wanted Vice President. That's what he wanted to be Secretary of State for years.
Involved in, like, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, so he wanted
that,
to be.
That's not that crazy.
He wanted to be President for years, but I think his second choice was always Secretary of State. You know, not Vice President. He's done a good job as Vice President, but I think he wanted to be Secretary of State.
Well, hadn't he been involved in a whole bunch of negotiations regarding?
I mean, as Vice President, he got to do quite a lot. I mean, the last few presidents.
But while he was in Congress as well. I can't remember if you. My memory is foggy, especially.
Yeah, whatever. In any case, and there's a question of, at this point, does he really want to do that or not? Anyway, the article came out. I thought it was interesting because, you know, of course, you and I have both said multiple times on this show before that we like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I would not mind Joe Biden being Secretary of State at all.
That would be nice.
I think that would be a good choice, and it would be an interesting choice. Whether or not it actually happens or not, maybe it is, you know, a trial balloon specifically for the purpose of getting people excited rather than something real. It would be fun. Do. Sam from the future here. Of course, the next day after that article came out, Joe Biden, in a conversation with somebody somewhere, said, "Yeah, no, not interested. I'm not interested." So, well, we'll see. Maybe she can convince him, or not. Back to the show. Do. You know, unless, of course, like we talked about earlier in the show, Clinton is stuck with just all of Obama's cabinet because she can't get anyone through because the Republicans decide to be obstructionist.
Right.
Although, you know, the odds I've been putting lately have it at about between 60% and 70% odds that the Democrats are going to take the Senate. So,
yeah, that would make things easier. That's pretty good odds. That would make things a lot easier. Yes. I guess that's the one thing, and I'm just like, you know, at this point,
odds for winning the House, for the Democrats winning the House, are still much lower.
Let me ask a question.
Like,
if the Republicans get really freaked out about losing the Senate, do you think they all of a sudden just rush approving Garland?
I think so, yes. Because there are a couple things. One, they could hang their hats on the filibuster and say, we could still stop it even with a minority with the filibuster. Except the problem is the Democrats have been, hinting the Democratic leadership has been hinting that just like they did with lower judicial nominees, they would blow up the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees if that looks like it's even on the table.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to hit the nuclear button, the nuclear option, and say, yep, no more filibusters for this. And you right. know, I've said before, like, if at this point, given the history of this, if the Democrats come in and have the Senate, but not the House, I would be nuking the filibuster for everything except actual laws, like right now, like for all confirmations for anything at all levels. I'd be like, filibuster is done. We don't need that anymore, because the key to this is the Senate sets its own rules. And at the beginning of each session, the rules can be changed by a simple majority vote. It's harder if you try to do it later in the session. But at the beginning of each session, when everybody's getting sworn in January, for a brief moment there, you can change the rules by a simple majority vote. And at that point in time, the Democrats could eliminate the filibuster for some class of things, like nominations.
What? I would blow it up for everything.
Well, and what I was going to say is I would probably save the nuclear option for legislation. Like, if I was the Democrats, and I'm not thinking at this point about the general merits of having super majorities, which in many cases I actually like the idea of requiring super majorities for certain things, and being the default to be no legislation. But that aside, if I was the Democrats, if they took the House, I would nuke the filibuster for everything and say, you know, we may lose this in 2 years, and if we do, well, elections have consequences, but for 2 years, we're going to get shit done.
Right.
And if you win 2 years later and you want to undo all of it, go for it.
Win
first, and recognizing that, yeah, that means if the other guy wins, they get to do what they got elected for. And I think, you know, actually, you know, hey, that's not a bad thing in a democracy. You know, if you win, you should get to push through your agenda to some degree. I think there are restrictions on
well,
that.
Well, look, I mean, the Constitution, you can't change without, you know.
Right. There are good reasons for supermajorities for a lot of things. But I think, you know, if I was the Democrats, my strategy would be, if I took only the Senate, get rid of the filibuster for all confirmations across the board. If by some miracle they win both the Senate and the House, then I would get rid of the filibuster entirely. It would be done. And, you know, there are, again, if I was a Democrat, if I'm putting on my nonpartisan, let's figure out what the rules should be for the next 100 years, I might still want a filibuster. But if I was the Democrats coming into that situation, I'd be like, we're done with this.
Right.
So anyway, anything else happened in the last week with the, I mean, like I said, it's been, given that we're only 2 weeks out, it's been remarkably calm.
Let's see. Pence crashed, WikiLeaks. What the hell is this that we're talking about? No, not that. The Kansas terror plot. Is that really part of the election or no?
No, it's not part of the election.
No, it's not part of the
election. Oh, one other thing that somebody.
Go ahead. Do you think Scott Adams is just fucking with people?
Well, I think there are a couple things with Scott Adams. One is that he actually has stated his strategy very clearly on a number of occasions in the past in terms of how he does predictions, which is he makes a number of predictions for things that are actually a fairly low probability of coming true. Because nobody remembers the things you get wrong, but if you're the one guy out of a million,
you're the genius.
Then you're the genius.
Right, so he's fucking with people. Okay, all right.
Yeah, to some degree. Now, however, I think he really does have. I mean, I think if you look for his core views,
I think he sounds like a Trumpet.
Yeah,
but
he's a dick. Okay, he really is. You know, a sexist asshole t- type person.
Yeah.
But I think, though, despite that, you know, his prediction that, oh my God, Trump is going to be president a year plus ago, I think falls into the category of him trying to pick the low probability event and looking like a genius if it happened, and it's not going to happen. However, his analysis about persuasion and those kinds of skills, I think actually did completely nail what was happening with Trump during the primary season. However, what he sort of predicted that, and I myself was saying, you know, don't underestimate Trump for the general because he can pivot and use these same skills in a different way in the general. And what both myself and Scott Adams failed at was Trump wasn't able to do that transition. He wasn't able to,
because that was, because he wasn't, that wasn't an act that he was using during the primaries. That was him.
Yeah, that wasn't him being really cleverly figuring out the vulnerable thing in Bush and using it against him in a clever way.
Right.
It was just him reacting. It wasn't. That's it. It wasn't some part of some clever analysis and plan where he was, you know, weaponizing words and using them in a certain way. No, he was just blustering his way through it, and it happened to work that way during the Republican primary.
And it worked better because it's like none of the candidates that opposed him took him really seriously.
Yep.
All of them thought that he was going to blow up, and none of them spent their time really doing the opposition research and the whole thing to how the hell do we fucking thermonuclear this motherfucker. Okay.
Well, and again, the thing was, it also played into their fear, because I bet some of them did have this oppo stuff. I mean, it's not like it was hard to find, you know, maybe the tape that was revealed a couple weeks ago was hard to find, but the general notion of all of these things, first of all, some of them really are things that would work better in the general election than they would in the Republican primary, but they were fundamentally afraid. They were afraid to the core of pissing off the Trump supporters because they felt they needed the Trump supporters to do anything. And this has been one of the core problems of the Republicans going back a long time, is that they, even the quote unquote good Republicans, who are rational, reasonable people who aren't racist, who aren't sexist, who just believe in, you know, a certain set of, you know, economic principles or even social values. They know they have the racists supporting them. They know they have the sexists supporting them. They know they have these people there, but they're afraid that they fundamentally believe, and unfortunately they may be right, that they can't kick those folks to the side and still win in a Republican primary.
Right.
I mean, remember, it was really big news back in 2008 when McCain was at one of these town halls and some woman started talking about, Obama being a secret Muslim from Kenya or whatever. And he's like, no. That he is not. He is a proud American, and I may disagree with him, but he is a proud American, and he loves this country as much as you do. And that was big news that McCain said that,
right?
Because most of the Republicans ran away from those questions. You know, right. they might not come out and say, oh yes, he is a secret Muslim from Kenya, like Donald Trump has said,
right,
in so many
and
words.
Apparently Sean Hannity this week as well wanted to send him back to Kenya,
he said. So I mean, most of the establishment Republicans would not go there, but they also wouldn't tell their supporters, no, you're full of shit, leave that at home. Forget that. That's not true. We can oppose the liberals without going to the, without making shit up. And not just making stuff up, but without making it about race, without making it about, oh my God, foreigners are evil. Because, I mean, in that particular birther case, Colin Powell actually had the correct quote on there, which is, the right answer is, so what if he was?
Right.
You know.
Now, You know, so they've taken the war on minorities. So this week, apparently Newt Gingrich decided to take the war on women up a couple of notches.
Oh, the one with Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing is...
She's obsessed with sex, you know.
Yes. You hear him say that, and you're like...
Basically, for those of you who haven't seen the clip, you can look it up. Megyn Kelly, Newt Gingrich. Megyn Kelly was asking him questions about... Trump's character and the accusations of sexual assault or whatever. And Newt is basically like, why do you even want to talk about this? This is unfair. You spent so much time talking about this and you haven't talked about the real issues. And Megyn Kelly is like, well, you know, he's been accused of sexual assault. This is a real issue. And he's like, well, you're just obsessed with sex.
Right.
You know, and it got worse from there. And she put him in his place at the end. But, this is what we've come to.
It's pretty brutal. And the thing is that you know, you get this group of jerk-offs that don't understand that it's not talking about sex. And the thing is that she was pissed off because, look, this is Fox. Dude, damn. Look, and she rattled off. Dude, what the fuck are you talking about? All this shit that you're saying, we've covered the fucking emails. He even said, listen, we've had that woman that you're talking about that used Bill Clinton. We interviewed her here. What the hell are you talking about that we haven't covered it?
Yeah, they've covered all that stuff. And you know, your key point there is this isn't about sex. This is about assault.
Fucking idiot. God.
And you know, I had one Facebook friend, yes, who was like, basically, I wish she'd just said, you know, and what's so wrong about being obsessed by sex? You know, but even so, the way that she did handle it was, I think, about as good as you could really expect there. I mean,
yes.
he looked like a fool.
He looked like a fool.
Of course, Trump tweeted later.
To his Trump people. He's like, yeah, you took it to her. and, you know, Republican strategists are all going, great. How many more women vote that we just lose right now?
Yeah.
You know,
well, apparently not many. Apparently we're flat at this point, like, because this is all built in. At this point, everybody is on their sides. Things aren't moving all that much.
They're already losing women by fucking, like, you know, like by a pretty bad margin.
Yeah, they don't need to lose more. And
right.
You know, I mean, and my latest update on election graphs. Is still that, you know, look, since the Access Hollywood tape, Trump's actually a little better off than he was back then. Now, I think
the biggest negative impact to him was definitely the more first, the debates.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first debate.
The first debate popped the bubble that he managed to generate by being somewhat calm through the month of September.
Right.
And then the first debate popped that and brought him back basically to where he was in August. And that's, you know, he's improved a little bit since the moment the tapes came out. But basically, we've been flat now for a little while.
I mean, the thing is, I thought if he would have been able to keep it together, he may have improved more. I think that probably just put downward pressure on his number in terms of not being able to improve and get the race closer, period. That's just what it seems like.
I mean, I'm in the middle of another round of poll updates right now, and he's gotten a little bit worse again in the things that I've added in the last 24 hours. But for the most part, you know, really... It's been flat since, I mean, it really is since about when the tapes came out, which was like October 9th or something, like 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere around there, was when the tapes came out. And really, the race has not changed very much since then. I mean, there's been a little fluttering up and down around the edges, but there hasn't been any big movement since then.
But you're saving the sex tape, right? The Hillary sex tape. You're saving that, right?
Yes. Yes.
We'll have that.
We'll release that after the election.
I was figuring, you know, maybe get it before. But, you know, the reality is that I know it's lesbian sex with probably people. Probably they'll think our numbers will go up, not down, really, with that.
Okay, Yvonne.
No, we don't have the sex tape.
Okay, Yvonne. Yes.
I'm sick, I guess. I'm getting things confused. I'm sorry, people. I guess we don't have a sex tape. We're not.
I thought you were going to say it was you and Hillary.
Now that would have been interesting.
I think I killed Yvonne.
No, that would have been something, I'll tell you what.
I think we're are spiraling out of control and we should end the show now.
Yes, I guess so. Okay.
Okay, Yvonne, get better next week. We've got one more show before the election. Am I right there? I think I'm right there.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah, one more show before the election, and then the show after that, we'll be talking about what actually happened. Who won, by how much, how everybody reacted to that, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then maybe the week after that, we'll be back to talking about self-driving trucks and Apple and the current events in Eastern Europe or whoever knows.
You know? Who knows?
So thanks, everybody, for joining us Thanks for joining us on yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. We always appreciate you. If you want to support us financially to help offset the cost of doing this show, we love that. Go to patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. All one word, no apostrophes, no hyphens, no nothing. Otherwise, if you want to support us, just subscribe to the show. Don't just listen to it occasionally. Subscribe to it in your podcatcher software. You can go to curmudgeons-corner.com, and there are links there to subscribe, to look at it in iTunes, to do all kinds of stuff. And of course, go to our Facebook page. It's Curmudgeons Corner on Facebook, or facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner, no hyphen, no apostrophe, just Curmudgeons Corner, one word. Like us there and comment there and tell us what you think and engage in conversation. We love it when you do that. Oh, and I had started to say, but I won't. Jen had asked me to comment on Bill Weld's comments, the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarians.
What did he say?
He made a number of comments over the last couple weeks, really, where he's kind of been, without explicitly saying it, getting about as close to the line as you could of saying, look, the really important thing in this election is making sure that Donald Trump doesn't win. And so... he hasn't actually come out and said, don't vote for our ticket, vote for Hillary, but he's come as close to that line as you can possibly imagine a vice presidential candidate doing. He's said a lot of anti-Trump things. He hasn't said anti-Clinton things for the most part. And at the same time, he's also looked somewhat disillusioned at Johnson himself after Johnson made a series of gaffes on foreign policy.
He's the gaffe meister.
You know, and so now again, he went right up to that line, did not go over it. The Johnson campaign has denied that what Weld is doing is saying that people should vote for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton. And it's unclear if you actually look at his statements. He's clearly saying Trump is bad. Don't let Trump win. It's not clear that he's saying, please vote for Clinton.
Right.
But anyway, that's it. That's our show. We are done. Goodbye, everybody. Have a nice week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Later.